Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
This room is so evil, so haunted. This is the only known documented case of an American university permanently sealing off a dorm room because of paranormal activity. Even authorities have been left baffled by this haunting. This is the true story of Room 428. This is one of those hauntings that the more you hear, the more you're like, what? For this story, we are packing our bags and heading to Athens, Ohio. Ohio University, a classic all-American Midwestern campus. And this place has some history. It is the 9th oldest public university in America. So a lot went down here. If you didn't know and you just walked around campus, it really looks like any other university. But this place is different. It's one of the most haunted campuses in the world. The number of eerie encounters and stories that come out of here is pretty shocking. And there's one particular dorm that's been the talk of the university for decades. Wilson Hall, the most haunted spot on campus. School spirit is alive and well here. Dorms are filled to the brim. But there's something going on here, under the surface. Ohio University was one of the places covered on Fox's Scariest Places on Earth. The university was established in 1804 and opened to students in 1809. From the outside, Wilson Hall looks to be like any other stately college dorm. Red brick building, aging white columns, and the streets around it are joyful. College kids, laughing, having fun, going to class. But Wilson's fourth floor holds a dark secret. And that dark secret is Room 428. The room is sealed shut, permanently. The inside of 428 hasn't been seen by students in decades. And by this I mean students can't even step foot inside the room. The doorknob will not turn. The window inside does not open. There has been no other circumstance like this one, where a college, university, will seal a room shut after reports of paranormal activity. This is just Room 428. School officials said the room was uninhabitable. But why? There's quite a horror story. The history of this room is pretty disturbing. So buckle up. Wilson Hall itself was built in 1964, and just a few short years later, in the 1970s, it all began. A male student got to the university and found he had been assigned to Room 428 at Wilson Hall. And actually, this was considered the fun dorm. It was the first co-ed dorm that the university was sort of experimenting with. At the time, all the other dorms were either strictly men or strictly women. So Wilson Hall was a party. So supposedly how they had it set up was the first and fourth floors were for male students. Second and third, those were for female students. So this school year started really normal. Incoming students excited for a year of making friends, going out, being independent. So this young man moves into Room 428, but unfortunately, it was a very short-lived residence. He mysteriously died in Room 428 not long after moving in. The cause? It's a mystery. No one could ever come to a ruling or conclusion on why or how this young man died, which is very strange. For a seemingly healthy 18-year-old to just pass away, this really didn't make sense. One thing everyone could agree on was that it was all very unusual. The student's death was mysterious in nature and no one really had an answer. Campus officials really said this is horrible, but the dorm had to be cleared out and another student needed to move in. So, Room 428 was assigned to a new student. Time passed and years later, a female student was assigned the room. Now, this female student in particular was heavily involved in the occult. Reportedly, she knew the history of the room and knew what happened to the young man there. It said when she moved in, she made use of the room's energy for occult practices, specifically using the energy of the room to practice a method called astral projection, also known as astral travel, soul wandering. This is where a human spirit travels on its own after separating from the human body. There were also reports that stated she was harnessing the room's energy to speak to the dead. But one night during one of these sessions, something went horribly wrong. This female student was found dead. And the official ruling was that she took her own life. So now this is the second student to pass away in room 428. Just years apart. Two students who were supposedly healthy 18-year-olds. Statistically speaking, this is astronomical odds. And many did not believe that this was just coincidence. But I did read something that was chilling, saying that both of their deaths were violent and angry. There was also another report that said that when the school officials entered room 428 after the young woman's death, they found a pentagram either drawn or scratched into the floor. That's not good. After the untimely deaths of these two students, things started getting really strange. Everyone and anyone that moved into room 428 began reporting truly terrifying experiences. Objects would fly across the room, smashing into the walls. Students would hear disembodied voices, whispering, and if they attempted to ignore it, the voices would escalate into screams, even though there was no one else around. And the activity wouldn't stop. It would go on at all hours of the day and night. Room 428's door would open and then slam shut with intense force. On its own accord, this wasn't the wind. And hauntingly, some reported seeing the face of that female student that died in the room, in room 428. They said it seemed like she couldn't leave. So as you can imagine, the university is getting a lot of complaints about this room. And for a long time, they really tried to ignore the reports. But there was one thing they couldn't ignore. Over time, these eerie, demonic-looking faces kept mysteriously appearing in the wood grain of the room's door. Sometimes these faces would be found scratched into the door. University officials turned the blame to students, pointing the finger at them, saying, "This is you all. You guys are doing this. You think the room's haunted, and you guys are just doing this for jokes or attention." And the students were turning around saying, "No, it isn't us. We are doing this." The residents of the dorm said they never had anything to do with it. And look, kids are creative. But how could they get these faces to appear in the wood grain of a door? But the cycle started. The university would come in, replace the door. Then, short time later, the faces would reappear. They would come back, replace it with another door. But those demonic faces always came back. And this went on for a while. Call after call, complaint after complaint, terrified students. Until eventually, the university feared another student would end up dead in the room. So they made a decision, something that had never been done in the history of American universities or colleges. They sealed room 428 shut forever. University officials concluded that no student could live peacefully in room 428, saying it's uninhabitable. And it's interesting and telling, as the university didn't turn 428 into a storage room or a laundry room or even an office or something. They said no one is ever going to step foot in this room ever again. That is intense. But as you'll hear, sealing the room shut didn't stop the paranormal activity. It was just a band-aid for a much bigger issue, and it was about to get even worse.
But what about rooms 427 and 429? What about the rooms surrounding it? Aren't they being affected by this? And the answer is yes. The activity in Wilson Hall continued. Students to this very day talk about the strange things they experience living in Wilson Hall, notably hearing unexplained footsteps and noises coming from room 428 at all hours of the day and night. These noises coming from a locked, sealed shut room. Whatever was happening in room 428, the haunting seems to have spilled out into the rest of the building as well. Shadowy, ghostly figures are often seen roaming the halls of the dorm. Students who live in Wilson Hall frequently report strange occurrences in other rooms as well. Residents said, quote, "Things will scratch at our door, and things will fall off the shelves on their own." Students report their drawers and their rooms will fly open. Closet doors swing open aggressively on their own accord. TVs and microwaves randomly shut off, then turn back on. One story from a former resident at Wilson Hall is so chilling. You gotta hear this. Ooh. One night, a female resident said she set her alarm for 3 a.m. Her roommate was heading out to some parties for the evening, so she set her alarm so she could wake up and make sure her roommate got home safely. That night, she drifted off to sleep, and as she set, at 3 a.m., her alarm went off. She opened up her eyes, looked over at her roommate's bed, and saw 2 feet sticking out from underneath her roommate's blanket. Oh, her roommate was home, she thought. So she flipped over and went back to sleep. The next morning, she awoke to her roommate opening the door and walking back into their dorm room. She said, "Hey, when did you leave? Where'd you go?" Her roommate paused for a second, then replied, "That was the first time that she had been back in the room since she left the night before." Oh, so whose feet were those? Isn't that disturbing and spooky? I don't know if I would last another night there. And also, what a nice roommate. I feel like we talk about so many instances of friends not checking up on each other on this podcast. And here she is setting an alarm right in the middle of her REM cycle to make sure her partying roommate makes it home okay. That is a good roommate. But yeah, these kinds of occurrences happen quite frequently in Wilson Hall. Many believe through research that Wilson Hall was built on the grounds of an Indian cemetery, and the spirits here are of that origin. Spiritual experts claim that the geography of the area, with the layout of peaks, mountains, and valleys, makes the spot very conducive to psychic energy. Another chilling finding: when you look at Wilson Hall on a map, the building is apparently located in the middle of an immense pentagram consisting of 5 cemeteries in the area. The pentagram is the ancient occult symbol of power and magic. Also strange because it was rumored that that pentagram was found etched into room 428. It's also been debated that Wilson Hall sits atop a plot of graves originally part of the Ridges Cemetery grounds. What is the Ridges, you may ask? The Ridges was another name for the Athens Lunatic Asylum. The former asylum was built in 1868, and today the building actually belongs to Ohio University and is used as a museum, an auditorium, offices, and several classrooms. To understand Ridges, you have to understand what went down there. From 1874 to 1993, this facility was used for people with all kinds of mental illnesses. Or should I say, what they classified as a mental illness back then. The first patient to be admitted was a 14-year-old girl with epilepsy. Her parents thought she was possessed by a demon, and they locked her up there. Sadly, cases like this were the norm. Back in the day, families would send their loved ones to insane asylums for many reasons, such as asthma, dog bite, a fall from a horse, female disease, and on that note, quote, imaginary female trouble, fever, grief, and wait for it, indigestion. Indigestion. I mean, there are full-blown lists of dozens of reasons that someone could be committed back then, but those were just a couple that I found extremely ignorant. But back in that time period, if you really had any type of issue you were dealing with, you were kind of seen as an embarrassment to your family. So they would drag you to an insane asylum like Ridge's, where you had to live out your years. And since the asylum opened, the number of patients increased over the years. Civil War vets, rebellious teenagers, homeless, elderly people, and even violent criminals were brought to Ridge's. It quickly became overcrowded and rumors swirled about the treatment of patients there. And as you can imagine, parts of the facility still hold the shadows, stains, and spirits of those former patients who frequently suffered violent treatments there, such as lobotomies. In December 1978, a patient named Margaret Schilling went missing, and a month later, her body was found by a maintenance worker inside Ridge's. It's said that a clear imprint of her hair, body, and dress is still visible on the floor where she was found, despite the area being cleaned repeatedly. I saw the photo. I kind of wish I hadn't, though. There are a total of 3 cemeteries on the premises, and nearly 2,000 were buried here. Many of the patients who were impoverished or families did not claim them were buried in the Potter's Field, which is where they would bury unclaimed individuals. At one point in the cemetery, the graves supposedly formed a circle, which was rumored to be a meeting place for witches. I mean, the more you hear, the more it makes sense how haunted this place is, right? But overall, many believe the spirits of these souls who were treated so unfairly in life could be some of the ghosts and energy felt around campus after their death. And it's felt all around campus. The entire university is haunted. I'd be remiss if we didn't cover some of the haunted spots on campus, so let's get into them. There's another building on campus not far from Wilson Hall, named Jefferson Hall. It opened in 1958 and was used as a dining hall and a dorm for female students. One day, in 1996, a group of students were exploring the attic in Jefferson when they came across a door to an unused room that was usually closed, but it was wide open. They looked inside and saw a woman sitting at a desk in a dark corner of the room. She was dressed very conservatively in clothing that seemed to be something from the 1950s. The students said she looked like an elementary school teacher. The students greeted her and said, "Hi." But when they looked down, they were startled to see the woman was floating and slightly transparent. Needless to say, the students ran out of there like nobody's business and frantically grabbed an RA. When they all went back up to show this RA, they found that not only was the door now closed, the room was locked. The RA ran and got a key, and when they finally got into the room, they found it completely empty. No sign of anyone being there. The woman was gone. Come to find out, that room was not used as any kind of office and had been empty for years. There used to be a caretaker of the hall whose job was to look after the place, and many believe that that was her ghost, still continuing to do her job in the afterlife. And there's a lot of activity in that building. Lights will flicker on and off. Toilets will flush on their own. People will walk into the bathroom to find toilet paper all over the floor, it completely unraveled on its own. But above all, one of the most common complaints of the building is the marble sound. From reports, folks say that all of a sudden, it'll sound like someone is dropping hundreds of marbles on the floor above you. Even when you're on the top floor, the sounds will come from the attic, which only administration has access to. On April 11th, 1993, a student named Laura was sitting on her window on the fourth floor of her dorm in Crawford Hall. Tragically, she lost her balance and fell to her death. That following spring of 1994, residents began reporting strange experiences in Crawford Hall. Lights would turn on and off by themselves, items would disappear and then reappear several days later, and then things got stranger. Late one afternoon, a male resident lay down to take a nap. It was early spring, so that soft fading light from outside barely illuminated the room. His roommate was set to return soon, so he left the door cracked and turned off the lights. He drifted off to sleep, but not long after, he was awakened by his door opening and the bright light from the dorm's hallway pouring into the room. He looked up and saw a young woman standing in the doorway, her silhouette illuminated by the light coming from behind her. She slowly entered the room and then calmly sat next to him on his bed. She then very softly said, "I'm sorry, I've woken you." The resident assured her that it was okay, but it was like the woman wasn't even listening to him. She seemed to kind of be in her own world. She then got up, slowly walked out of his room, and closed the door behind her. This guy was somewhat confused. He was sure that he knew everyone that lived in the dorm. It was the spring semester, so he had lived there for a while. But he had never seen this woman before. He went to talk with his RA and told the RA about what happened. He swore up and down that he had never seen this woman before. And although the encounter was strange, he felt perfectly calm when she was there. No fear. She was a peaceful presence. As he described this woman and the clothing that she was wearing, the RA was stunned. The woman he was describing was Laura, who had fallen to her death exactly 1 year before in that very building. The next haunted spot we have is Washington Hall, and it's haunted by an entire basketball team. Well, actually, maybe two. Yes, you heard me correctly. An entire roster of ghosts. There's two versions of the story. Years ago, it said the girls' basketball team was in a terrible and fatal bus accident and now haunts a part of the building, a hallway in particular. And the second account is that the men's basketball team haunts the top floor, which used to be used as the hall's recreational room. Last, but certainly not least, is the Convocation Center, and it's rumored to be haunted by quite a few ghosts in particular. One, an RA who was killed by a boyfriend and is said to roam the halls at night, looking after her residents and protecting them all these years later. Another spirit is that of a student who mysteriously died in their sleep one night. This ghost reportedly likes to embrace students as they sleep at night. Dorm residents say they have woken up to someone holding on to them. So I think you can see, it isn't just Wilson Hall. The entire university is riddled with strange stories, unexplainable events, and some pretty stunning supernatural activity. Maybe the spiritualists are right. Maybe the land, the area that the university sits on, is prone to supernatural psychic activity. From the possibility of being built on Indian burial ground, to formerly housing a horribly inhumane psych ward, this place has some major energy, no doubt. Let me know what places and cases and haunts you want to see next. I gotta say, I love getting suggestions from you all. Some of my favorite episodes have been your recommendations. If you dig this podcast and Avery After Dark, if you'd be so kind to leave a nice review and rating on Apple Podcasts, and to all of you sweet people who have left reviews so far, thank you. You mean the world to me. Share this podcast and Avery After Dark with your mystery and spooky loving friends, family, and coworkers. And if you want all these episodes ad-free, join the Avery After Dark Patreon. Until next episode, avoid room 428. Don't trust any feet you see sticking out from under a blanket. And this is Avery After Dark.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.